This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Tuesday was a big day in the life of the Kansas City School District. The Missouri State Board of Education granted full accreditation to the district, something it lost in 2011 and has been trying to regain ever since. The decision effectively removes a stigma that has dragged down the district for a decade, and for that matter, the economic growth potential of the entire region. All this happened despite the fact that 100% of district students are now on free or reduced lunch, and despite the fact that so many students move around a lot, and many are immigrants new to the English language. These are challenges that many suburban districts don't face. The superintendent of Kansas City Public Schools joins us now, and that's Dr. Mark Bedell. Mark, welcome back. Congratulations. I'm sure it was a heck of a day yesterday.
Yes, sir, it was. We are extremely proud of that announcement yesterday. To be frank with you, I didn't think it was going to happen anytime soon, because we had been fighting for this since 2019.
Right.
Where I truly felt that we had met the requirements back then, but it was a surprise to me, to tell you the truth, that it happened this fast, after being told no a couple of times.
When did you know that the state board was actually going to vote on it, Mark?
I didn't know about it until Monday when they put the agenda out. The commissioner Wow. called me and actually said to me that they have been reviewing our data again. And even though the data doesn't count for this year, they did take a look at how we performed against other districts in addition to some of the other more relevant data that did matter, like advanced placement, IB, those kind of data points, right. Graduation rates. And what she said was, while the whole state has shown a decline just because of everything we've been through the last 2 years with this pandemic, we still were exceeding expectations around growth as a school district. And she said at that point that they had made a decision that they were going to recommend full accreditation and will be placed on the agenda when they posted it on Monday. They it was there.
What do you think brought them to this place, Mark? Do you have any insight into what the state board was thinking?
Well, here's what happened was we brought the whole Department of Education here to our school district, and they conducted reviews of our whole system. And I would say that the experience that many of them had after they interviewed teachers, principals, after they looked at our strategic plan, monitored our data, looked at our financial stability, looked at the systems that we have put in place.
When did this happen, Mark?
Huh?
When did this happen?
That was back in the spring. Okay. They came in and did a full-blown review, and at that time said that math growth points was one of the areas of concern. And it was the one thing that was stopping us from getting the full accreditation several months back. And then, of course, you saw yesterday in the newspaper where they said KCPS exceeded expectations in math in terms of subgroup performance. Mm-hmm. And I think that did it, along with what I believe was a compelling study that was published on December 3rd, 2021 from St. Louis University Prime Center on high poverty, high growth schools. And on that list, they looked at the top 30 schools that were highest of poverty, highest of growth in English. And on that list for elementary schools, the Kansas City Public School District had 8 of the 30 schools on that list. Hmm. In math, the Kansas City Public Schools had 5 of the 30 schools.
Wow.
The next closest district was 2. The next closest district on the English one was only had 3 schools at best. And then the Kansas City Public School District was the only district in the state to have more than one school hit both lists. We had 3, while 8 other districts had 1 school that hit the list at least twice. And I got to believe that had something to do with this decision, too.
Do you know if anybody was pressuring the state board behind the scenes that might have also contributed to this?
I mean, I think I know our board, as part of their job, is to advocate and fight on behalf of what they see is happening here with data. And I think, but I'm not certain that was the case. it could also be that there were a number of school districts in the state of Missouri that are fully accredited that we are outperforming. And people were trying to understand, how is that possible? Because, of course, when you have the volatility that we've had with testing, no district can be lowered. Right. But then it's almost impossible for districts like mine, who are fighting to have an increase, to get that increase because of the volatility of every year, a new test in and out.
Right. So how did you celebrate yesterday?
To be honest with you, Steve, it was a wonderful deal to give back to this city, to be thankful that my health has allowed for me to continue to deal with the toxic stress that comes with this job, but to give it back to the community. I went home and celebrated because I'm trying to get on this plane on Friday. Otherwise, I would have probably been out with some staff and some board of directors hanging out a little bit. I just don't want to take a chance with this virus of not being able to make this weekend trip and I'll celebrate on this weekend trip.
Where are you going?
I'm just going out of town.
Yeah. So what kind of shot in the arm is this for you guys?
It's huge, because right now it's just hard being an educator in this country, not just in the Kansas City Public School District. This pandemic is wreaking havoc unlike anyone could have imagined. And it has created, in many cases, just a strong sense of hopelessness, even in districts where there was a lot of hope, because of the volatility of teachers being in and out, students being in and out. But we're all still going to be held accountable to those federal accountability standards and state accountability standards, even though there's nothing static about how we're educating kids. And so to get this accreditation for people who have been in this district 10 years or longer, and I mean, it's for all of us, but there are some people who was here when the district lost its full accreditation again. There are people who were here in 2000. There are people who were here in 2011 when the district lost it again. And for those people, I think this will let them know that everything that I did was well worth it, because regardless of if the district ever got its accreditation or not, these were people who were fully committed and bought in to really helping to liberate and to free these kids in a manner where they could access the Kansas City dream. And honestly, I think this will just inspire people and hopefully have more people wanting to come and work in our school district because of the direction we're heading in.
I'm visiting with Dr. Mark Bedell. He's the superintendent of Kansas City Public Schools. The district just regained full accreditation yesterday for the first time since 2011. So what's been the reaction from parents, from students, from your teachers, Mark? What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
Well, honestly, what I'm hearing is that parents are saying, a number of them that I've seen put stuff on social media, were talking about how they were looking to move out of the city at one point and made a decision that they were going to stay here and be a part of helping to build and support this school district by keeping their kids in, and people feeling like they made the right decision. A lot of folks have seen the changes and the experiences that their kids are having. And I think what it also does, from as far as students, it's a sense of pride. I'm graduating out of a fully accredited school district. I get to have that gold seal on my high school diploma that people for 22 years or 21 years or so didn't get to have on their high school diploma. So it's a sense of pride and joy for our parents, and honestly, just the beginning of what we believe is we have a very bright future here, Steve. The stuff that we are planning to do with Blueprint 2030 and how we want to redesign and reimagine education, all of this gives our community confidence that we know what we're doing here And I think it will help us with the buy-in that we need to execute Blueprint 2030. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's put us a step closer now to being able to have this ask of the community for a capital projects bond. So with this whole redesign, our kids are able to learn and modernize facilities and have the amenities that a lot of our suburban counterparts have. So yeah. It's so much, Steve, that this does for this city. It's so much that we don't have enough time.
You're talking about a bond issue here. When do you want to bring that before the voters, Mark?
Ultimately, for me, I have to execute Blueprint 2030 first and get our board of directors to vote on that and get the community to be excited about that. We hope that that can happen at the end of May. That's the target. And then to begin, you know, hopefully to engage everybody over the next year and to see if we can get it on the ballot for next April.
What do you want to see on that bond issue? You want to see new schools? What do you want to see?
I want to see renovated, well, honestly, pretty much renovated schools. We have buildings that just need some significant renovations, and being able to address a lot of that deferred maintenance will be critical. We have some buildings that are historical, and you know, you can't really do much with the face of it, but you can go inside of it and gut it out and really redesign it and make sure that you have a proper space that will fit into our academic visioning that we will share with the community on January 26th. And like I said, just become a much more agile school district because of how we're able to redesign teaching and learning and then have that align with the facility structures that we want to be much more agile and flexible in serving this community.
You know, Mark, the Kansas City School District hasn't had a successful bond issue in decades. And I'm wondering what size you might be looking at, what kind of ask you might be making of the community.
Well, I think at that point, I know in my mind where we should go. I think that's a conversation I'm not going to put out prematurely just because I need to be able to execute on Blueprint 2030. I need to get a determination on how far this community wants to go with us being able to address, become much more efficient, but also what is it that we have to give up in order to move to this new vision that we have around teaching and learning and the instructional programming of the district. So a lot of that's going to happen over the next 3 months or so, where we will engage everybody 3 to 4 months and figure out these scenarios. And then that will ultimately give us every data, piece of data that we need around our future ask for a bond referendum, which you're right, haven't passed one here since 1967.
Mark, you've been talking about and referring to Blueprint 2030, your vision for the future of education in Kansas City Public Schools. Tell me about it in a few sentences. What does this look like to you? Where do you want to take the district?
Yeah, so what it looks like, Steve, is us redesigning how we support our students socially, emotionally, and academically, and to put in a framework, an instructional framework that not only embraces equity and diversity, right, throughout our curriculum, but also embraces parental involvement and really getting our parents to come back and help us, not just at the elementary level, but at the middle and the high school level, and making sure that they are true partners in how we educate their kids. And then there's another phase of that, taking a look at our school day. Because I said that yesterday in the press conference, why do we have to have a model where kids only go to high school from 7:20 to 2:20 and that's their day, and there is no flexibility in there to innovate? So we say, why couldn't we look at 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for our high schools? Our kids in 9th and 10th grade go to school during a traditional day, maybe that's 8 to 3. But then by the time these kids are in the 11th grade, because what we learned from the pandemic is not everything has to be set in on a rigid schedule. These kids can operate on very flexible schedules and then be able to do internships and those kind of things during the school day in case they have to work after school to make ends meet. So they're not being robbed of experiences because of their socioeconomic status, but you got to develop the school system and the school day to be responsive in that way. And then I think there's that last piece, taking a look at the school calendar. The biggest concern I've always had with summer school is summer school is generally only 21 days. Mm-hmm. And I've said this for years in every district I've worked in. How much can you really do to help kids in 21 days? What you want to do is be proactive in reducing the amount of time that they are away from us in terms of and prevent learning regression.
Right.
So then we have to take a different look at our calendar, right? Do we look at a trimester type calendar? Our teachers burn out. We all burn out by the time you get to the end of October. And what if we did a trimester schedule where teachers who are grossly underpaid, and it's something I've been fighting for every year in Jefferson City, that they could then, maybe if they want a vacation during the month of November, they can, and it's not a peak month. And then we can do intercessions with our kids, just like you would with summer school, to address the first quarter response to their data. And then you come back and you go from December until March. And then March is spring break in that period, but you do another intercession. And then you come back and you go from April all the way through the month of June. And then everybody's off July and you do the same cycle for intercession three. I'm looking at innovation like that, right? But it's going to require our community to buy in, the business sector to buy in. It's going to also require that people have to understand we're going to go through some pain and discomfort if you want to see a better day. I can guarantee you this, Steve. We will not stay accredited if we don't look to do things significantly different.
So what you're looking at doing, Mark, is really reimagining public school education in Kansas City, Missouri. This is the opening of a new chapter.
That's correct, Steve.
You're moving from defense, if you will. You've been on defense trying to regain full accreditation. Now you're going on offense.
That's correct.
Huh. You know, you've been superintendent for 6 years now. You're the longest tenured superintendent for the district in more than half a century, Mark. How much of a difference has that made?
It makes a significant difference. And I hope that this serves as a model around the country in urban school districts that have gone through struggles like ours, that board of directors and the community give these superintendents time. The problem is in urban education, most people want you to come in and they want you to turn things around in 2 years.
Right.
Right. And it didn't take 2 years for the district to get into the hole that it's in. It took decades. Mm-hmm. And so the thing that I've been fortunate and blessed is I've gone through 4 iterations of a school board since I've been here. And I have managed to maintain support of each of our boards as we've continued to do this work. And if you don't have that, if you have dysfunction, if you have a board that is constantly overreaching and trying to tell you how to do your job when you are the trained professional, none of this works. I mean, it just doesn't work. And that's part of what I think has plagued a lot of our school districts around the country and why, quite frankly, we have a ton of turnover that's happening right now because of what's happening with elected school boards.
Mark, as our conversation began, you used the term toxic stress to describe what you're up against many days as superintendent of Kansas City Public Schools. What are you talking about there?
Just how hard it is to run a district like this. People don't understand how difficult it is. And I shared this a little bit yesterday about all of the different variables that I have to take into account that many other superintendents don't have to worry about. I have to make sure that when it's all said and done, I have to account for every decision I make. How does that impact charters? Districts that are whole don't have to worry about that. Right. So even as I think about a bond, how is that going to impact charters? When I know I got $350 million in deferred maintenance that we have to address. It's not only that, it's the eviction rates that are high. It's the crime. It's the violence. Right. You and I spent the day over at Melcher.
Right.
When the bullet went through the school bus. Right. So that inserts toxic stress when you have to go in and you have to talk to a family or go in the hospital and visit a student who just going to a basketball game gets shot in the neck just for being at the game. A great student. right? All of that stuff takes a toll. And then, you know, we are ranked number 17 in the country in economic development. So we get hit on so many different fronts that makes it hard. It just inserts nothing but toxic stress in the work that we're trying to do. And I'm not the only one that feels that. Our teachers feel it. When our kids show up with the social and emotional distress that they show up with,
Do you think Kansas City gets it, what you're talking about here, the challenges that you face, the idea that 100% of your students are on free or reduced lunch, the notion that so many students are moving in and out of the district because of, chaos in their own personal lives, this notion that a lot of your students don't speak English or don't speak English very well. They're immigrants to this country and have just arrived here maybe shortly before coming to one of your schools. Do people get it?
I don't know that people care to get it.
Because
it's the Kansas City Public School District, right? And people
wrote it off a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. From a long time ago, many people still, you know, approach the district through that deficit lens. I mean, it's just like the article that went out the other day. And, you know, I have respect for a number of people on the editorial board. And, you know, we had to have a conversation with them about why was that story written the way that it was written.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like that deficit lens.
This was model. The editorial that suggested that maybe full accreditation will bring more white students back into the district. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, my attitude is, man, I'm going to educate who wants to be a part of this district. I'm not targeting a particular segment of the community. There are people who don't want to be in our district, and that's fine. I'm not going to reach families that are in private schools. Even if we were an exemplary school district, That's the way that goes. And so do right by what I have. If I do well with what I have, more people will come. And it doesn't matter to me what you look like.
Your goal, you have said, and we're starting to run short of time here, but your goal has been to get this district at or above the state average across every measurable indicator. You say you're competitive. That's where you want to be. You want to compete with suburban school districts when it comes to the numbers of high-achieving students. Do I have all that right, Mark?
You're absolutely right. That is our 100% goal. And you have to start off, you have to crawl first, right? You have to put 101 fundamental structures and systems in place, and you have to grow. You grow your way there gradually, and then eventually, as you continue to close those achievement gaps, you'll begin to see more and more kids move into that proficient and advanced range once we get everything settled with all of these assessments and MSIP 6 that's upcoming.
You know, one of your challenges is a real basic one, and that's school attendance, getting kids in the door every morning. Before you go, just tell us, what is that challenge? Where do those numbers stand today? And what are you up against every day trying to get kids in the door to get them in the classroom before their teachers every day?
Well, it's a challenge. It's significant. It's even harder this year because of the pandemic,
right,
and the struggles that we have with bus drivers. I mean, as you all know, I was driving a kid to school for a couple of weeks early on in the year. I made a decision to drive my daughter to school so we could try to help free up that route for other kids who have families that don't have the ability to get them to school. So my wife and I now are taking our daughter to school every day. And it's been hard getting them in. It's just been hard. And it's not just because here's the deal. The common cold, you have to treat it as if you have the virus. So anybody with a runny nose or if you're sneezing, you are encouraged that you can't come to school. And what we do know and learn from the pandemic is virtual schooling does not work well for the masses. It works well in pockets. It works well for students who have the support structures at home that allow for them to flourish in there. But the vast majority in our school district, they need to be in front of a live certified teacher. And so as a district, we're going to remain committed to providing that option for our families, while those who don't want to be in our schools very well can go into our Kansas City Virtual Academy. But it's been hard just because of the pandemic and some of these other variables that we just don't have a lot of control over right now.
Well, that's Dr. Mark Bedell. He's superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools and just achieved full accreditation yesterday. Mark, what a monumental achievement you just pulled off here. Congratulations again. We'll look forward to future visits, and I hope you have a good respite away from the grind here for a few days.
Thank you so much, Steve, and I appreciate your support. I always have from day one when I met you, so thank you.